Good morning, body of Christ gathered here together. And you know, in these uncertain times, there's one thing that is absolutely for certain, and that is that our God is an awesome God. So let's stand together and declare this truth together, that our God is an awesome God and He reigns.
Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. Yes, He is.
Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold.
Adore Him. Behold our King. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome to the iFalls Covenant Church. Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. It truly is a great day as we're singing right there about our God who is sitting on the throne right now at this moment, our God whom we serve. And I have an awesome story to share with you this morning. You see, on Tuesday, I had someone come into my office wanting to know about membership in our church. And this gal told me that she wanted to know how to be saved. And so I walked her through the message of how Christ died for sinners. And at the end, I asked her if that made sense to her, and she said yes. And then I asked her if she wanted to make Jesus her Savior, and she said yes. And we have a, yeah, that's a great thing, yep. And we have a tradition in our church of what we do. When somebody has come to faith in Jesus, we take a white flower and we put it in a vase to represent a lost person who has been found, a person who has, their life has been completely changed. And I told her, I said, hey, remember this date. This is Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, Election Day, and on this day, you elected Jesus as the King of your life. And so isn't that wonderful? Yeah, let's celebrate that one more time. For those of you who are new or visiting today, welcome. We hope that you feel welcome here at worshiping with us. And one thing we would love for you to do is at our little wooden box in the back of the gym here, we would love if you fill out a Connect card just to let us know that you are here. Let us know if we can be praying for you. Let us know if you also would like to maybe receive Jesus for the first time, just like someone else did earlier this week. Also, for anybody who's already a member of the church, if you have updated information or any of that, please fill that out on the Connect card and just drop it in the box, and you can get up and do that at any time. I do have some announcements of things, some little house business that we got to take care of. The first one is, you kind of see before me, I've got these Operation Christmas Child boxes. Those are boxes which people take and they fill them with little gifts and useful things that will be given to a child in another part of the world, and that's going to be their Christmas. Many times kids have never even gotten a gift for Christmas, and they're going to get one of these. Not just that, but it's also going to include things which teach them and tell them about Jesus and Jesus' love for them and what Christmas is all about. So I would love if at the end of this service, if these boxes right that were up here are all gone. Looks like there's 10 of them. I would love if they were all gone. And then what you can do is fill them up, and we have a couple of little Christmas trees at the entrance, and you just drop those off there once you fill them out. And November 22nd is the pickup day. So that's when we need to have them all in. So remember that, November 22nd. Also, if you're someone who has already done one or two, you know, maybe this is the Christmas to go extra and maybe to grab some more. Let's see how many of these we can send to kids this Christmas. I want to let you know about another just brand new thing that we're starting, which is we're putting together a tech ministry. Now, here's the thinking behind it, is we have a couple of holidays coming up in Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we're well aware that there's going to be families who are not going to be gathering together, or they're not going to be seeing all of their families like they would have liked to do. Well, to be able to connect with your family members better, we're kind of putting together a tech ministry of people who'd be willing to come and to help you get set up with how to do video chats and stuff like that with your family. So they would help set you up with whatever equipment you need, help teach you how to use it so that you could be able to connect with your friends, your family, and loved ones this Thanksgiving or Christmas. So if you're hearing that and one, you would like to be a part of a team that helps to do that, feel free to contact the church and let us know. Or if you're hearing that and you're thinking, you know what, I would like to receive help in learning how to do the video chat stuff, again, just contact the church office and we'll make sure that you get set up with someone who's going to help you. So that's going to be a new tech ministry thing that we're doing. As well, if you have any friends or someone who you know could really benefit from that, contact the church office. For all other announcements, make sure that you check the bulletin for those weekly activities. You know, we're sitting here on Sunday morning, a week after election, and Biden has been projected the winner of that, and you know, normally at this point we would also have a concession from the other side, but there's things going on there. So, 2020. This is kind of the world that we're living in right now. So, we just kind of wait and see there. But no matter who it is, we'll be praying because that's what we're called to do as a church. And the way we're doing offering these days, as some of you know, if you've give by cash or check, you can drop that off in the box at any time during the service. And if you want to give over an extra above that, we do have a mental health fund that is for people who are going to be struggling with mental health right now and need help with trips to, say, Bemidji or Duluth to be able to get the help that they need. So if you want to give over and above towards the mental health fund, just mark that and when you drop it in there. You can also give online at ifallscovenant.org and click on the give button, or you should download the church app on your phone, which is really useful for being able to give quickly. But I'm going to pray for this morning's offering, and I'm going to pray for the worship this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we sang, You will reign forever, forever and ever, Lord. We can be certain that You are on the throne and we worship You. We thank You, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful day to get started in worship. And as we sing these songs, Lord, may they be a sacrifice of worship to You. And as we give of our offerings, whether that is just to the ministry of the church or whether we also decide, Lord, to give towards things like the mental health fund. Lord, just may those be received by You as an act of worship as well, knowing that these are difficult times for us, but that, Lord, that we are still a generous and a giving people because of our confidence and trust in You. So we thank You, Jesus, and we worship You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with us as we sing some more?
Savior's blood died He for me, who caused His pain for me, who Him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou
inflamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many souls to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until I was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
You may be seated. Let's go into a time of prayer together. Lord, this morning we're reminded that your mercy is new each and every morning. No matter what our day, our week has been like, Lord, you've met us this morning, Lord, and you're offering us mercy and forgiveness. And we come before your cross, Lord, just as we were singing there, recognizing how deep your love for us truly is, that you were willing to give your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. When we see the extent of your love, Lord, we're moved toward you. And Lord, I pray that all of us are coming close to the cross this morning, recognizing that it's in the cross that we find all of our forgiveness. It's in the cross that we find our hope and our security. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for someone who has come to the cross this week, who has given their life to Jesus, and whose forever has been changed. Lord, we thank you for how you still do that in people's lives. Even when the whole world seems like it's spinning out of control right now, Lord, you're still bringing lost people to the cross. And so we thank you for another person who that was happening. And Lord, we know from your scripture that the angels in heaven rejoice over even one lost person who's been found. And so we rejoice with the angels in heaven over that. Lord, in the uncertainty of our day, with all of the things going on with the pandemic, with the election, Lord, there's just something about being before your cross that puts it all into perspective for us. And we're able to see where our hope truly lies. So Lord, as we look to your word at this time, we pray that your word would also bring us to that place, towards that the cross where Christ died for sinners, like me, like all of us here, like all of us who are at home. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us that much. We ask that you would bless the reading of your word now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand with us as we do have a reading from God's word?
Today's reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You may be seated.
March 27th. It's crazy to think it was March 27th when Minnesota put out the shelter-in-place order in order to slow the spread of COVID-19. And so we went into our homes, schools closed, restaurants closed, nursing homes. We didn't gather for worship in the building here. We couldn't see each other's faces, couldn't hug each other, eat together. All the while, we kept telling each other that we're in this together. But many of us felt so alone. We were in isolation. And many have been calling what we've been going through a double pandemic, not just COVID-19, but also a pandemic of isolation and seeing the effects that that has on people. People were afraid of what would happen next. People were feeling hopeless that anything would ever get better. People felt all alone. And you know, the video meetings, the Zoom meetings, the phone calls, those helped, but people still felt alone. And now we're looking at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and some families aren't going to be getting together, and many people will feel even more lonely. There are examples of people in the Bible feeling isolated and alone, starting with the very first, Adam. Genesis 2:18, when God said about him, "It is not good for man to be alone." King David knew what it was like. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was praying in the garden, and he was so anxious, praying, "Lord, please take this cup away from me. But not my will, but yours be done." And he would go and check on his disciples who he wanted to pray with him, but they kept falling asleep. And Jesus felt alone in that moment. Another person in the Bible who experienced isolation was the prophet Elijah. And he's the one who we're going to be taking a look at today in our second week of our series on mental health called I've Got Issues. Today, we're going to be talking about the anxiety and depression that the prophet Elijah experienced. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use this text, this piece of scripture, Lord, that you put in there for a reason, because you wanted us to learn something and to see something for our own lives through your prophet, your servant, Elijah. I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged by this, that we would see you meeting our needs in the same way that you met Elijah's. I pray, Lord, that your scripture would do that kind of healing, encouraging work that it has the ability to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our passage today, we have Elijah, the prophet of Israel, and where we picked up the reading is he is on the run from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who hated him. Now, to give it a little bit of context, Elijah was just coming off the greatest ministry moment in his life, where he had a showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And this is during a drought. He challenged hundreds of prophets of Baal. And it's kind of interesting to note that during a drought, that Baal is the god of rain to them. That he had a challenge with them to bring down fire from the sky and consume the altar. And so he let these prophets of Baal go first. And they were wailing and they were yelling to Baal to bring down fire from the sky and consume the sacrifice. They were even going as far as cutting themselves to try and get Baal to do something, and nothing happened. Elijah started taunting them. He would say things like, "Hey, maybe you need to be louder. Maybe Baal is sleeping. Maybe Baal is just gone to the bathroom." Finally, after all morning and afternoon into the evening, it was Elijah's turn. Elijah, what he did is he dug a trench around that altar so deep, and then he told his companions to pour water over the altar and then to go do it again and again until the water had come off of the altar and had filled the trench around the altar. And then Elijah prayed this. He said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this day let it be known that you are God and that you are turning people's hearts back to you. All of a sudden, there was a flash from the sky and the whole altar was consumed with fire. Seeing the mighty hand of God, the people seized and killed all of the prophets of Baal. And then after that, the drought ended, the skies opened up, and rain came pouring down. And then, chapter 19, which we just read, he finds out that Queen Jezebel wants to kill him for what he's done. And in verse 3, it says, then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life. He was afraid and arose and ran for his life. Right after having that amazing experience on Mount Carmel where God came through. It says that he left his servant in Beersheba. And verse 4, that he himself went on a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. Now, why would Elijah travel all that way to be by himself? Well, we find that out in the next verse. It says that he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Okay, so let's recap. Elijah, in this moment, on the run, is overcome with fear. He was all alone. He left his servant. He was all alone. He says that he's had enough. He felt like a failure, and he lost the will to live. Elijah literally went from a mountaintop experience to the valley experience. Elijah had anxiety and depression issues. Anxiety is characterized by a future-oriented mood state in which someone is ready or prepared to attempt to cope with upcoming negative events. A way you can describe it is anxiety can feel like every cell in your body is vibrating with the need to run. Run from the room, run from the threat. Run from your thoughts. Run from the overwhelming energy building inside. Except you can't run. You can't escape it. And like Elijah, you're on the run. Depression is characterized by a persistent feeling of sadness or a loss of interest. Depression can feel like you're being swallowed by the ocean, which with each wave dragging you deeper down. So far down that you no longer see sunlight, just suffocating darkness and weight. Elijah felt that. He had anxiety and was on the run, afraid for his life. He had depression and had a loss of interest in everything. Notice the feeling that you've had as we have experienced that isolation during the last half year, and what it's like to be cut off from all of your relationships with others, and just kind of notice what that felt like for you. And I want you to realize that there are people who feel like this all the time. There are people who, even before this pandemic, were in isolation. Even when everything was open, and even when they could be surrounded by people and be as close as they want, they live in a world that's closed off inside. They feel all alone. Here's what people who struggle with anxiety and depression describe it like. One person says, it's two voices inside of you, both with totally different opinions. It's anxiety screaming, you have to get up and do stuff or you'll fail in life. And then depression on the other side telling you, it doesn't matter anyway, you should stay in bed all day. It's being super stressed out about everything all the time, but also not really caring about anything. It's two totally opposites pulling your mind, and it's really exhausting. Another person describes it like a roller coaster. And anxiety is the ride up the hill, the constant wondering about what's on the other side. Will my seatbelt hold me? Will the tracks fail? Why is it creaking and shifting and screams and the screams of everyone? It's all rushing. The panic is starting to come over me. And then the free fall is like the depression. It dips so fast, and the fall is so hard. I'm going down faster, and then I'm ripped from side to side and upside down. I'm crying in fear of continuing on like this. It all happens so fast. I see everyone around me. They're walking and talking and carrying on normally, and when I want to reach them, I can't. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going around and around. And lastly, a person says that struggling with a mental illness like anxiety or depression, it's like they have to go around wearing an invisible mask. I have to show other people that I'm fine, completely functional, and capable of finishing all the tasks. But the reality is that I'm a person who sometimes has to lock myself in a bathroom just to make sure that the mask I wear doesn't break loose and expose my true self. In the New Testament, James 5, verse 17, it says that Elijah was just a man like us who prayed. And in 1 Kings 19, we see how this great prophet of God was just a man like us. And here is what this great man of God looks like away from the crowds. When he's not on Mount Carmel and when he's not showing people the amazing things that God can do. But here he is alone in a cave without the crowds. And I believe God put this in the Bible for a reason, because he wanted us to see Elijah away from the crowds. There's a tendency for Christians to not admit that they struggle with things, such as anxiety or depression. You know, even pastors, we feel like we have to have it all together all the time. Even though statistics say that 1 in 4 pastors struggle with anxiety or depression. Even two very high-profile Christians, Tony Dungy, the football coach, and Rick Warren, the pastor, both lost their sons to suicide. My question for you today is, what are you like away from the crowds? What are you like when you leave this place and you go home? Do you feel like you have to wear a mask here? I want to tell you that it's okay to admit that you aren't okay. I want to tell you that it's okay to get help. And as a church, we're trying to do better at that. We've even put on our homepage of our website mental health resources, which we've compiled to be able to provide things that can help you if you feel like you're struggling with something. And also this mental health fund, which I was talking about earlier, to be able to offset some of the costs of being able to get mental health care when we live in such a northern isolated community like we do. And sometimes you have to travel a long ways to get help that you need. One of the most difficult things about anxiety and depression is there's things that we know help. Things like healthy food, sleep, exercise, healthy relationships. But anxiety and depression takes away the motivation to be able to do the things that you need to do. Notice how with Elijah in verse 5 and 6, it says that he laid down to sleep and an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. I have a pastor friend who, whenever somebody comes to him asking for help, he likes to say to them, "Will a sandwich fix it? Will a nap fix it? If not, okay, let's talk." Because, as I said before, we know that so many of the issues that we have with our minds and our bodies can be greatly improved with simple things like sleep and eating healthy food, being out and being active, and having connection in relationships. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. This is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching. And Jesus talks about anxiety and worry. Verses 25 to 34 in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Did you know that God is not worried about tomorrow? He's not concerned about what's going to happen. He's not worried that things are going to be out of his control. And did you even notice that this summer that we've just experienced, in the middle of a global pandemic, did you notice that the birds and the flowers came out and they were doing just fine? In one of my Bibles, I like to grab flowers and press them into this passage in my Bible to just remind myself that, hey, you know what? God takes care of something as small as this flower. He could take care of me. And notice how God takes care of Elijah in this passage. He provides for him food and water, a place to rest. Just like what Jesus said about the birds and the flowers, God knows how to take care of us. Worry focuses on the what ifs of life. But trusting God focuses on the what is. What's really cool about this passage and what Jesus is teaching about not worrying about tomorrow but being present in today is psychologists have discovered that he was right. Because one of the best techniques for helping someone who's struggling with anxiety is called grounding. And the basic idea of grounding is to get people out of their heads and more aware of their body. And so they'll use things like your senses to be able to help you to be more present in the here and now and not with your mind in the future where it's uncertain. And Jesus taught us this when he said not to worry about tomorrow, but to be present today. Get your head out of tomorrow and be present in the moment. I've heard of people who to help deal with the worrying that they do during the course of a day. They'll schedule 30 minutes a day where they allow all of their anxiety and worry to go wherever it's going to go. They just allow themselves to worry for 30 minutes. But then as soon as that 30 minutes is up, they can no longer worry about anything for the rest of the day. And I've heard for some that that can be a helpful practice. Because the reality is we can't control the future. We can't control the weather. We can't control COVID-19. We can't control politics or injustice. But what we can control is our own bodies. We can control what we consume. We can control how we act. We can control how we react to situations. And God provided food and water and rest for Elijah, to where he got up and he headed to a cave. And once he got there, in verse 9 of 1 Kings 19, God says this, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So here's Elijah's complaint to the Lord. Oh, side note, complaining to God is still prayer. If you don't believe me, just read the Psalms. Elijah feels alone. He knows what isolation feels like. Except he wasn't doing it in a home, he was doing it in a cave. He feels like everybody's left the faith. He feels like he's the only one left, and nobody likes him. I think many of us have felt that way before, maybe even now. But God does this amazing thing after that. He tells Elijah to come and meet him outside the cave. First, a violent wind comes, but God wasn't in the wind. And then an earthquake comes, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then a fire comes, but God wasn't in the fire. I wonder if that's how the band Earth, Wind, and Fire got their name, by the way. Anyways, God comes in a low whisper, and he again says to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah tells God the same thing that he said before. But then God says, calls him to go and anoint a couple of kings, to go and anoint the person who's going to be his successor, and all the things that Elijah would be doing as a prophet of God anyways. And then verse 18, God says this to Elijah, "I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God gives Elijah a couple of things. He gives him purpose and perspective. The purpose is in saying, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Like, I still have a purpose for you. Your life still has meaning." How good would it be to hear those words from God? So many of us have things that have been taken away from us, whether it's schools, jobs, churches, family, and life's been altered, and we aren't able to contribute the way that we used to. We feel like Elijah, worn out and fed up, ready to just kind of mail it in, depressed. Then God delivers a word to him. "What are you doing here?" And God gives Elijah perspective to see that God is in control and Elijah is not alone. See, sometimes when we're anxious or depressed, we feel isolated and alone, like there's no one who is going through what we're going through. And so God tells him that he's going to anoint another prophet. Like, there's another one. And God tells him that there are 7,000 people in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal, who are still faithful to God. When we struggle to see the big picture, and we're just focused on our own struggle and what we're going through, in our own isolation, it can be hard to see that we're not alone. We took a survey recently as a church to try and find out how many people are struggling with some of the different mental health issues that we're talking about in this series. And if you have a bulletin, you may have noticed that there's like a little square that's a color on there. And that's by design. That's because it represents someone who struggles with a different mental health thing in our church. We surveyed and got 52 responses. And as a way to kind of show you that there are more people who struggle with the same things that you might struggle with, I'm going to show you this morning. And so in our survey, 31% of people said that they struggle with trauma, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. And that's the ones with a yellow little square on there. So if you have a yellow square, would you just stand right now? Just take a look around the room. 31% of people in our survey, our church survey, said that they struggle with a trauma issue. So you can be seated. The next one is anxiety. People who struggle with anxiety. If you have a green square, would you stand up? Greenish. The colors might be hard to tell. There should be a lot on this one. Okay. Well, because this one's even more. This one is 39% of people. Depression. If you have a red or whatever shade of salmon that is, please stand up. Melon? Okay. So 40% of people said that they struggle with depression. You may be seated. And abandonment. If you have a blue square on your bulletin, please stand up. In our results, we had 14% of people struggle with abandonment that affects them to this day. Thank you. You may be seated. So, you know, surveys are one thing, but I wanted to have people stand so you could see that there are people who struggle with these things. And if you are one of those people, hopefully you see that you are not alone. Like Elijah, King David knew a thing or two about being on the run and about being afraid for his life. He spent nights all alone in a cave, just like Elijah as well. And David wrote many of the Psalms when he felt this way, and Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved Psalms that has brought comfort to many people. Goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you or a loved one struggle with anxiety or depression issues, you don't have to hide. Draw near this morning to that still small voice of God, like Elijah heard, and let God take your hand and walk you through that dark valley of the shadow of death. There is no valley that is too deep or too dark that God's love is not deeper still. And know that you are not alone. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, as we talk about a very difficult subject, but one which we know many people struggle with silently, Lord, I just pray that that message would be ringing true, and that all of us who need to hear that today would know that we are not alone, that you are here with us, and you have seen us in our darkest moments, God, and you love us still. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who doesn't come to us in loud things like thunder, lightning, and fire, Lord, but that you are that still, small voice, that intimate presence that we have in our life. We pray, Lord, that we would be hearing your still, small voice, Lord, telling us to keep on going, to not give up, that we're not alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This week, along with these great words from Pastor Seth, I pray that you would take the message of this next song with you, that we are not defined by our mental health issues. We're defined by who God says that we are. So if you can stand, let's stand and sing this about who God says we are.
Benediction from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.